and welcome to the Totus to Us radio show. My name is Fiona Kiley, and you are all very welcome to join us here today. We thank Radio Maria Ireland for helping us promote Totus to Us magazine and the wonderful work that they do. Feel free to contact Radio Maria anytime with feedback or comments, and their numbers are 01 4123456, or you can text or WhatsApp at 089 467 2000. You can also access past shows and faith conferences on Radio Maria's podcast page on their website at www.radiomaria.ie. The recent All-Ireland Eucharistic Conference, which is there as well as many faith conferences that Totus to Us magazine has sponsored. Speaking of faith conferences, Totus to Us is organising the Women of Faith Conference. This is our fourth year running it, and it will be live on Radio Maria Ireland on Saturday, May the 7th from 2 p.m. We are very blessed to have Sister Concilio, Wendy Grace, Father Freddie Warner, Sister Susan Evangelist, and Dr. Edward Shree speaking at the conference this year. It will be a very blessed afternoon, so please mark it on all your calendars. You will hear more about it, so don't worry. Totus to Us magazine has been in circulation now for over 4 years, run by volunteers and distributed by volunteers. The name Totus to Us means totally yours, and our aim is to bring everyone to Jesus through Mary. Totus to Us is full of articles from Irish laity and religious on topics ranging from the apparitions of Our Lady around the world to personal testimonies to learning about the Mass and the sacraments of the Catholic Church. You can usually get a copy through your prayer group or at the back of your churches. Father Marius O'Reilly, the editor, is based in Cork and was inspired by St. Maximilian Kolbe. Many people may know Father Marius from his many WhatsApp groups, which circulate around the country daily with reflections on the Mass readings, rosary reflections, prayers for the dying, and many more. And he just started a novena as well yesterday. His mission is to get everyone in Ireland to pray the rosary. Totus to Us magazine is run by donations, and we let Our Lady guide our work. It is testament to her that we are still going strong over 4 years later. If you haven't come across Totus to Us magazine, we'd love to offer you a free copy. You can send your name and address to 086-876-0058. That's 086-876-0058, or feel free to call us on that number as well. I have a limited amount of older editions if you have missed out on one as well. While Totus to Us is run on donations, we also began to offer a subscription service in recent times. It comes out every 2 months, so for 6 editions posted to your home, it is €20 for the year. The next edition of Totus to Us magazine is full of beautiful, enriching articles. There are beautiful articles written on Venerable Nan O'Neill by Father Eamon McCarthy. There's an article by Bishop Fonzie Cullinan, Father Philip Kemmy, Marie Claire Hayden, and many more. Today we are going to discuss an Irish priest who will soon, please God, become a household name. In several editions of Totus to Us, we have had articles written by Pat Kenny on Father Willie Doyle. Today we are very blessed to have with us Patrick Corkery, who along with Pat Kenny has been inspired by Father Willie Doyle. Hello, Patrick, and welcome to the Totus to Us show.
Hello, Fiona. How are you? Thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, you might tell us a small bit about yourself, introduce yourself, Patrick, and maybe tell us a bit about how the Lord has worked in your life.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So my name is Patrick Corkery. I'm an Irish Jesuit scholastic. So that means I'm in formation at the moment to be a priest. In the Jesuits, we have priests and brothers. Once you take vows, which is after 2 years of novitiate, you usually make the choice of whether you want to be a priest or a brother. I'm on the priest track and I'm in my 7th year, so I probably have about 2 or 3 more years towards ordination, please God. Originally, I'm from Cork, and I guess I would have grown up in what would have been a fairly traditional Irish family. At the moment, I'm teaching in a school in South County Dublin, a Jesuit school, Gonzaga College. And often now when I'm talking to some of the boys I teach who maybe are 17 or 18, I would see, you know, the Ireland that I grew up in probably would be much closer to my parents than the Ireland that they grew up in, you know, in terms of we would have gone to mass every Sunday. Prayer would have been something we would have engaged in the house, you know, maybe not consistently, but certainly I remember an night we would have said the Divine Mercy Chaplet or the Rosary. So it would have definitely been there. And, you know, leaving school, the idea of being a priest would have been on my mind, though I didn't take it up at the time. I would have gone to UCC and I did arts. Initially, I did a history and politics degree, and then I went on and did a master's in international relations. And I guess while I was in college, my faith would have lapsed. I don't know if I was ever kind of solidly atheist. I certainly wasn't practicing my faith, but I don't know that I ever kind of come to the point of saying I'm definitely an atheist and there's nothing there. But I was not thinking about it. It was not relevant to me. But constantly at the back of my mind, this idea of faith was there and that maybe there's something. And I kind of would have teased it out over time to the point where I felt I have to do something about this. So I kind of got back into my faith. The idea of being a priest, which would have been there when I was in school, it kind of returned to me. And I felt that, you know, this is probably just an idea. I don't need to deal with it. But it kept coming up and coming up and coming up. And finally, I decided I'd do something about it. I'd never met the Jesuits at that point, though I had read about them in school. In my junior search history, I remember reading about St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Counter-Reformation. And I often say to teachers who are teaching junior search history and despairing, you know, there's a value in junior search history. Someone might become a Jesuit out of it. So I contacted the Jesuits. And again, I was thinking, this is just something I'm looking at. It might not actually work out. I'll look at it and, you know, it probably won't work out. But here I am 7 years later, still a member of the Society of Jesus, still enjoying it. And please God, we'll continue on to ordination. So I guess that's a little bit about me and who I am.
That's fantastic. And can you tell us maybe the way different orders have charisms, Patrick? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us because I wouldn't know, I suppose I'm a lay Dominican, so I know the charism of the Dominicans is, you know, to preach. They are the order of preachers, and of course the rosary as well, to share the rosary with everyone and to evangelize. What is the particular charism maybe of the Jesuits?
Yeah, so the Society of Jesus, when it was founded, St. Ignatius of Loyola's initial desire was that he and his early companions, who would have included people like St. Francis Xavier and St. Peter Faber, was to go to Jerusalem and to evangelize there in the Holy Land. Ignatius had been there himself before he kind of became a priest and, you know, set up the Jesuits, and his desire was to return there. But for kind of political reasons at the time, they were not able to travel to Jerusalem. So they went to Rome and they put themselves at the disposal of the Pope, and they said that they would do whatever they were asked to do, that they would put themselves entirely in the hands of the Holy Father. And as a result of that, St. Francis Xavier was sent to India to evangelize there. But the early Jesuits were asked to set up schools. And Ignatius was not keen on this. He felt that this would be a burden and it would tie them down. But very quickly he came to see a value in education and in the institution of teaching, and Jesuit schools became well sought after in that period of time. And I think it allowed the Society of Jesus to grow, but it also allowed them then to kind of continue to engage with people in a way that other, let's say, counter-Reformation religious orders like the Theatines, who never set up schools, really, you know, never thrived afterwards. They thrived in the period when they were set up, but they didn't have a longer period of existence. And I guess if the Society of Jesus has a charism, although people would probably disagree with me within the Jesuits, teaching is a big part of it. I myself am in a school at the moment. But a major thing as well with St. Ignatius of Loyola, and we'll get to it with Willie Doyle too, was the giving of the spiritual exercises. These were prayerful meditations that Ignatius came up with while he was in his conversion period. So after he'd had his accident at the Battle of Pamplona, where he was hit by a cannonball, he spent a time in recuperation in bed. He spent about 9 months in bed, and the only books he had were The Life of Christ and The Life of the Saints. And coming from that, he began to sort of meditate on these and to put himself in kind of imaginative contemplations, biblical stories, and come to know the Lord totally. And he wanted to bring that to other people. So the Charism of the Spiritual Exercises, which is a little book that Ignatius put together, is, I think, at the heart of the Society of Jesus, and to communicate that to as many people as possible.
Fantastic. That's beautiful. And of course, Pope Francis, our own Pope Francis, is a Jesuit as well, which is fairly powerful. And by, I think by his life and by his work, he shows, I suppose, what it means to be a Jesuit as well. The one of the things that struck me when you were telling us about your story was, you know, I'm just wondering, and I suppose it happens, we actually... we had Ellen Moynihan on the last show last month, and she was talking about trying to keep on to the, hold on to the faith during those college years. But so many of us, including myself, fall away the minute we leave that little safe hub of the domestic church, our families. You know, it. You know, the I suppose the temptations come in straight away, and it's a growing process as well. We have to actually make that choice to follow Jesus ourselves. You know.
Yeah, like I remember week two of being in UCC, I stopped going to Mass because Saturday nights were more exciting than Sunday mornings, you know, and that was the beginning of it. And over time, then you make excuses for it and you kind of get lazy. But I think, as you say, the domestic church and being part of that and being nurtured there, it can't be oversold. It's so important.
Yeah. And it's so difficult, I suppose, now, you know, there are always groups, small as they may be, but there's always Catholic groups in every college. So people can kind of find those out and root them out. But it's so important, I suppose, to try and maintain those friendships and try and keep on, you know, they give you so much support, I suppose, the chaplaincies and all the colleges and things like that, just to try and connect, I suppose, that would be something, I suppose, that people can do now when they're in college. I certainly don't remember I went to UCC. I certainly don't remember them at the time, but maybe I wasn't looking either, you know, so it's, but they are there now. So we'll have a piece of music now, and then we might talk about Father Willie Doyle and how he has inspired yourself, Patrick. Thanks a million.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
That's great. Welcome back to the Totus Tuus magazine radio show. We're delighted to have Patrick Corkery on with us this morning, a Jesuit that is in his seventh year of seminary, and he's speaking today on Father Willie Doyle. We have had several articles on Father Willie Doyle written by Dr. Patrick Kenny in Totus Tuus. So if you've missed out on any of them, please do contact me at 086-876-0058. That's 086-876-0058. So, Patrick, you might talk to us a small bit about Father Willie Doyle. I personally am hoping that every household in the country will know this man, please God, by the end of the year. So he's such an inspiration, such an amazing man. You might introduce him for us this morning.
Sure, I'm very happy to, Fiona. So Father Willie Doyle was born on the 3rd of March, 1873. And just to put it in context, he's born just a few weeks after St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who became one of his great heroes in life. So he's almost a contemporary of Thérèse of Lisieux, though they never met each other. So he grew up in a very traditional Catholic family. They were upper middle class. They would have enjoyed the finer things in life. They had servants and so on, which was not uncommon for people at that time who were kind of, you know, upwardly mobile Catholics. But Willie, as a child, kind of developed a different way of looking at things. He would often get up earlier in the morning and he would prepare the servants' jobs before they came in to work even. So he'd have the fire set. He might have the breakfast put out. He would have done jobs that they would have had to do. So he had this kind of desire for service that sort of just was natural within him. So being of service to others was just what he was disposed to, even before he set out in life. As a small child, he would do this. The family were fairly philanthropic as well. They would donate to the local poor. And there's one story I like. When he was young, he was given a shilling and was told to go get some cakes. And on the way to get some cakes, he met a beggar and gave the shilling to the beggar. And when he came back to the house, he was quite upset that he'd given away the shilling, but he'd done this of his own accord. He wanted to help someone else rather than himself. So this kind of natural instinct to give to others, it was who he was. It encompassed everything. It carries on to the end of his life, but we see it from the very start. This was something that he had in him. He was just, you know, there's a Jesuit phrase that came out later from Father Pedro Arrupe, being a man for others. And Willie Doyle was that from the get-go. He was a man for others. He thought about a vocation early on. His oldest brother had been a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Dublin, and Willie wanted to kind of take that up. His brother had died tragically before his ordination of one of these Roman fevers that was quite common in sort of summer in Rome at the time. He'd been in the Irish College in Rome. So Willie wanted to go to the Irish College and continue for the archdiocese like his brother. But his immediate brother above him, Charlie Doyle, who was his great friend, had opted for the Jesuits. So he was in the Jesuit novitiate in Tullabeg in County Offaly. And Willie initially didn't like the idea of joining the Jesuits. He went down to see his brother in Tullabeg, which is Jesuits affectionately used to call the bog. It's in the middle of a sort of kind of poor arable land. And he said to his brother, "Thank God I'll never have to come back to this hole again." But as he was leaving, he was given a book on the religious life by St. Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptorists. And Willie read this, and on Christmas Day 1890, he decided, okay, I'm going to enter the Jesuits. So it was as a result of his reading, as a result probably of the prayers of his brother Charlie. And in 1891, 31st of March, Willie entered the Society of Jesus at Tullabeg. One of the things that's unique about this is early on in his time as a Jesuit novice, there was a fire in the Jesuit novitiate, and the fire was a traumatic experience for him. And he seems to have had something like a nervous breakdown and was sent back to his family home to recuperate for a while. And unusually, he was invited back to the novitiate afterwards. Normally, something like that would have been seen as an impediment towards religious life. But Willie overcame this serious breakdown that he had. And we see later with his life in the First World War, he's incredibly heroic. So he was able to come back from this, that there was an inner strength that maybe came out of this terrible event. And Jesuits are encouraged to kind of examine situations, to examine what's going on, how the Lord is moving them day to day. So I'm sure this practice would have helped Willie to overcome this and to turn him into the heroic figure we see on the battlefields of France and Belgium during the First World War. His time then after that, usually after Jesuits take vows, they're sent out to work in schools. And Willie was sent to work initially in Clongowes College and in Belvedere, where he was very popular with the students and left a lasting impact in Clongowes in particular, where he set up the Clanwegian magazine. He had the first ever musical there, the Mikado. He brought the musical, which is still very popular in Clongowes. He brought that there initially, went on, continued his studies in Belgium and England, and was ordained a priest in July 1907. And it's interesting, the day he was ordained is the same day that Blessed John Sullivan was ordained. They were both ordained the same day in Milltown Park. We don't know much about the connection between each other, but they were ordained the same day. And there's a photo that exists of the two of them in a group together, standing quite near each other. So we can assume perhaps they knew each other. So we have two saints, at least, out of that ordination class. At least, well, you know, Father Doyle, please God, will become a saint. And his time as a Jesuit priest then, he had 10 years as a Jesuit priest, and he spent most of them on mission. Retreat mission, parish mission. He had desired to go to the overseas missions in the Congo. It never happened for him. But his parish missions were connected to the spiritual exercises, and he really developed a desire to give the spiritual exercises to lay people. At the time, the spiritual exercises were the preserve of priests and religious nuns and brothers and so on. And he wanted to set up a retreat for working people, a retreat house. He began this process. It never came to fruition in his lifetime, but Rathfarnham Castle, which was a retreat centre for the Jesuits, became that working man retreat hub, and it was down to sort of this initiative by Willie Doyle. So he really had a love for the spiritual exercises and wanted them to be brought to the greatest audience possible. And then when the First World War broke out, he applied to be a chaplain. The call for chaplains only comes in 1915. They didn't think the war would go on that long. So in 1915, he was called up and was sent to France. And unlike a lot of the other chaplains, Father Willie placed himself very much front and center in the conflict. He was in the front, in the trenches, living with the soldiers, experiencing their hardships. He would have experienced a gas attack at one point in time, which is a very unpleasant way to die. And you know, a horrendous form of chemical warfare. He would have slept in the muck and the dirt. His food would have been taken by rats. Lice would have been part of his day. And through it all, he remained cheerful. He had a strong aesthetic life, and that's something that kind of comes throughout his Jesuit formation and his training. It's kind of this desire to deny himself so that he can give to others. So any hardship that he experienced, he offered it up and helped others. And there's one famous story that's told that he was sharing a trench with a doctor. They were both sleeping in the muck and in the wet. And the doctor developed a cold and was coughing. And Father Willie said to him, "Look, sleep on my back. At least then you'll have something between you and the muck and the wet and the water." So this is just the kind of person he was, that early giving to other people. It continued right throughout his life. And we see it then at the end, even when he went onto the battlefield to save two soldiers who were injured. They happened to be Protestant soldiers. He was very popular with the Ulster Unionists who were fighting in the war, as well as the Catholic Nationalists. And he went out onto the field trying to save both of them. And sadly, he was killed himself. He was hit with a shell and his body was basically obliterated. We don't have any relics, really, except for some blood that he had on his vow formula. He wrote it in blood. With his own blood and some hair from when he was a child. So there's very little left of him. And devotion began almost immediately through a book written by Alfred O'Reilly, who was a professor in UCC, who had been a Jesuit for a while, so he may have known Father Doyle. And his book on Father Willie Doyle was translated into multiple languages and would have been read by people like St. Jose Marie Escriva and St. Mother Teresa, and would have inspired them. They're just two people I can mention who would have been really blown away by the life of Father Willie Doyle. And in the 1930s, there was over 50,000 letters sent to the Jesuits with alleged favors. And the cause certainly had some interest. It didn't progress at the time because the Jesuits opted to promote the cause of Father John Sullivan for canonization, who is equally deserving. I'm sure, you know, our listeners who know Father John Sullivan would agree. But the Jesuit postulator in Rome agreed that the time for Father Willie's cause would come. And, you know, I think now we see that the interest is still there. The website, willydoyle.org, which I would recommend everyone take a look at, is a place where you can get a lot of information on Willie Doyle. And if you know you have a devotion to him, if you're praying to him and there are miracles, you know, that's where you should report them. So I guess that's just a brief outline, Fiona, of the life of Father Willie Doyle, a little bit about the cause, where it has gone and where it is going. There's an association has been set up as well at the moment of lay faithful, with Dr. Pat Kenny as the chairperson. So that's, you know, that's in the process of working to promote the life of Father Willie Doyle. And hopefully someday, please God, we'll see him canonized as a saint.
Absolutely. And I think that's it. I think more and more people are beginning to get to know him, I suppose, from articles that Pat Kenny, from yourself, and Father Marius O'Reilly is certainly in Totus Tuus magazine will certainly be, I suppose, highlighting him and spreading his name and his devotion as far and as wide as we possibly can. Father, our Dr. Patrick Kenny has a beautiful book, To Raise the Fallen, which is a selection of the war letters, prayers and spiritual writings of Father Willie Doyle. And we just have a minute or two left, Patrick. You're actually in the process of writing a book yourself, are you?
That's right, yeah. It's written, it's been sent off to the editor at Messenger Publications, which is the Jesuit publishing house in Ireland. It's Father Willie Doyle, and I've tagged it Much in the Presence of God, which was a quote that came from one of his students in Clongowes when he was there, who wrote about him afterwards. So it's just a brief outline on the life of Father Willie Doyle, and hopefully it will be as kind of just an accessible way of people to get to know him, a short little booklet. And I think it's the first written by a Jesuit, so that's something historical in and of itself.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. When do we hope to see that, Patrick?
That should be out in June.
Thanks be to God. Listen, it's been so wonderful. Oh, sorry,
it's okay.
Yeah, it's been so wonderful listening to your story, your own story as well this morning. And it strikes me how important, thanks be to God, you're still there 7 years later. It strikes me how important it is for all of us as laity to pray for our priests and get masses offered for them and pray the rosary for them, because it's not an easy undertaking by any means. It wasn't in Father Willie Doyle's time. It's not now. So it's so important to pray for our priests and our seminary. And thanks so much for coming on the show this morning to talk about Father Willie Doyle, Patrick. God bless you and God bless all your work.
Thanks very much, Fiona. God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Take care.